We announced last Sunday that this month of November is going to be our final month here at Coronado School. We are moving to the home of Dick Moser starting in December, and I'm excited about this move. I think it's going to be great because our church needs a change. We've been here for 6 years, and honestly, the size that we're at right now, it's very hard to have church in this size of a room, the size that we are right now, you know? It feels very empty. And I don't want to feel empty. I want to feel filled. So we're going to fill up Dick's house. And it's great. He's got that big open room, and fit about 60 chairs in there. And we can go to two services at some point if we need to. And we'll just bust out the seams on that place. It's going to be great. I ordered some touch cards this week that when they arrive, you can start handing them out to people. It has a little map on it, how to get to Dick's house and his address. And it's a great way to advertise our church and get the name out there. Yes, Chris. Parking, there is an open lot just above Dick's house on the other side of that street there that he's gotten permission to park cars at. And he's also making some other arrangements. Yeah, we'll have a little valet parking, and everyone will have to sign a liability release form. Yeah, Jeffrey's raising money for college or something. So, thank you. That's good. So that's going to be starting the first week of December. We'll be up there. Christmas falls on a Sunday this year. I'm just thinking way ahead, you know, a couple of months. Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, and I want you guys to be able to spend time with your family on Christmas morning. You know, traditionally, that's what's going on. So we're going to do if it's all right with you, Dick, it's your house. Can we do a Christmas Eve service at your house? Okay. So yeah, and it's not going to be at midnight. No, sorry. Yes, the Christmas. Yes, the Oro Valley Holiday Parade is on December 10th, and Beanne has volunteered for the second year in a row to help organize that and everything. So if you want to help out, we need lots of people walking, handing out, you know, touch cards about our church, and lots of people on the floats. We got a whole, you know, Christmas theme. We're doing two floats. Is that what you're planning on? Yeah, so we need lots of people on the floats dressed up like, you know, wise men and stuff. So, yeah. We can have a costume for everyone that's here. So, and she could probably do that in about 5 minutes. So, because I know her. It's a great way. We've been doing it for 4 or 5 years now. It's a great way to get our name out there, and people look forward to our float. We're doing something different this year. We're not going to have the whole band on the float doing Christmas songs, carols, because our worship team has been depleted over the past year. So we're going to be doing something different, but I still think it's a great way to get our name out there and you know, be a part of the community. I look forward to that. CBN if you want more details on that. Okay? That's on December 10th. Am I forgetting anything else? I don't think so. Okay. We've been in a series for the past couple of months on restoration. We're closing up that series this morning. We're going to be moving into the holiday theme stuff in the near future here, Thanksgiving and Christmas and those kind of messages. So I want to close up the series on restoration this week, looking at different areas of our lives that just because you are alive and you're out there in the world living life, portions of your life just become eroded. Different areas of your life start to crack and crumble, and we've got to find those areas of our life that need help, and we need to shore those areas up. We need to restore them to the way they were, and the way they have been in the past. And just want to spend a few minutes this morning talking to you about restoring forgiveness. Life hurts, right? Life hurts sometimes. Just living life, you get hurt. And sometimes life hurts because other people do things to you that cause you to hurt. And sometimes those things that people do to you are an accident. You know, like somebody, you're walking in a crosswalk, somebody hits you with their car. It wasn't on purpose. They weren't trying to run you over. It was an accident. They just happened to bump into you while you were crossing the street. And sometimes people do things to hurt you on purpose. You know, they don't like you and they want to do something to you, so they do. And doesn't matter either way. God calls us to forgive the people that have hurt us. Jesus calls us to forgive those people. It's not easy to do sometimes, and that's not really the focus that I'm going to take this morning. What I really want to talk to you about this morning is re-forgiveness. Because this is a series on restoration, right? So I want to talk to you about re-forgiveness. Because there's times in your life when somebody hurts you, and you do. You forgive them. You honestly do forgive them and let it go, and you put it out of your mind. But then something happens in your life, some circumstance, or somebody walks into your life, and it reminds you of what the previous person had done. Maybe you see that person walking down the street, and it brings back all those bad feelings. All that hurt just comes back up again. And when that happens, we need to know how to deal with that, how to re-forgive that person. Because forgiveness is a cycle, it's a process. You have to continually, sometimes you have to forgive somebody 10, 20, 100 times before it's finally gone, you know, because something reminds you of it and those bad feelings come back again. When it starts to happen, when we feel that happen, when we feel those bitter, hurt feelings, angry feelings again, we've got to deal with that. We've got to recognize it right away and deal with it because it can affect every other area of your life. It's one of those areas that needs restoration sometimes. So a couple of points about re-forgiveness. First of all, Jesus told us to re-forgive. Jesus told us to re-forgive. Matthew 18, 21 and 22, Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Some translations say 70 times seven times. Seven is a symbolic number in the Bible. It's perfect number. It stands for perfection. And so when you say, forgive somebody 77 times or 70 times 7 times, you're basically saying, Jesus is saying, forgive them forever. Forgive them over and over forever, as many times as it takes. Even when you lose count, you know, I've forgiven them 398 times. Times now, and 7 times 7 is 49, carry the 0, 490. So I got 120 left to go. No, that's not how it works. It's symbolic. It means forever. Keep forgiving. Keep re-forgiving that person. No matter how many times those feelings come back, continue to re-forgive. And if you do that, when you're finally able to release those feelings, your life will be so much happier. Your life will be so much more peaceful. Let it go. Re-forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. You can choose to forgive somebody and let those feelings go. Or you can choose to hang on to them and let them fester and hold a grudge and look for ways to get back at them. choose to let go. Because God's already let go. This is the second thing you can write down, is our Heavenly Father doesn't remember their wrong. Our Heavenly Father doesn't remember what they did. It's already taken care of. We've been studying the book of Hebrews on Thursday mornings at the men's Bible study at 6 o'clock at the Safeway on the Rancho Vistoso and Tangerine, if you want to join us there, guys. It's a great time. What I love about this study, we're walking through the book of Hebrews, and I love it because I can miss 2 weeks and then come back and I've only missed two verses, and it's great. Maybe sometimes only one verse, you know, and it's awesome. Why? Because we go into such detail on these verses, and nobody that's there is some big PhD Bible scholar, you know, but we all have our own insight that God has revealed to us about these passages that we're studying, and so we just spend the hour sometimes on like a word, just talking over what it means and how it's used in context and why the author used that word instead of something else. And it's really given me a new way to look at Scripture that I've never had before. But we're in the middle of, actually we finished up Hebrews 10, right? Yeah, we finished up Hebrews 10 and we were on that for a good 4 months. But in verses 17 and 18 of Hebrews 10, it says, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. And what that is referring to is the fact that when God forgives our sins, it's as if they never happened. We are pure again in His sight. You know, back in the Old Testament days, in my daily Bible reading, I'm reading through the Old Testament, and I'm in coming up on the end of Numbers now, and I just got through all the sections that talked about the sacrifices, right? And all the different kinds of sacrifices and all the different kinds of animals that they were supposed to use for this sacrifice and that sacrifice, and supposed to bring them to the temple or the tabernacle, and the high priest was supposed to do some crazy ritual thing and then sprinkle the blood here and there, and it had to be done exactly right. But the thing that is common through all those different kinds of sacrifices was that the animal had to be spotless, had to be blameless. The animal had to be perfect. If there was any blemish, anything wrong with that animal, any kind of disfiguration, any kind of problem with the animal, then it wasn't worthy of being a sacrifice. Only the perfect animals could be the sacrifices. And what this was a foreshadowing of when Jesus was going to come. And Jesus was going to be the perfect sacrifice because he lived a perfect life, never sinned, and his sacrifice on that cross paid the penalty for all of our sin, past, present, future. And so the sacrifices back at the temple in the Old Testament, that was a foreshadowing of Jesus being the perfect sacrifice. And so that's what the author means here when he says, where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary because Jesus paid that price. We don't have to go to the temple anymore and sacrifice an animal because Jesus has taken care of it now. But their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. God doesn't even remember that they happened. Yeah, no kidding. So, if God's forgotten the thing that person did to you that hurt you, why are you hanging on to it? God's already let it go. It's been erased. When we, down at work, I work down at Raytheon, down on the other side of town, and I take care of their computer systems, and sometimes, you know, the systems that I work on are the unclassified computer systems. There's no secret classified data on them at all, you know, and every once in a while, somebody will put a file out there on a computer that I'm responsible for that is a classified file. And it is something that nobody is supposed to see unless you have clearance, you know. So having that file on an unclassified system is a very, very big no-no. So when that happens, they call me and I have to take that computer offline and I have to do what's called a wipe on the disks. I have to take the disks, I have to run this program on the disks that completely wipes them clean. It writes over the data like 8,000 times and it just completely erases, eradicates whatever data was there on that disk at the time. And that's what God's done to our sin. He's completely wiped it away. It's as if it was never there. And that's why we're allowed into heaven. Because our sin never happened. Wasn't there. It was never there. And same with these people that we're holding things against. It's like they never happened. So why are you hanging on to it? And I'll tell you why. That's point three. Because of our human nature, we do remember. They're wrong. Our brains don't work the same way that God's brain does. Our mind is not like God's mind. We can't just hit the delete button and wipe it away. We can forgive something and we can choose to let it go. But then it's just so easy for something to happen in your life that is just the tiniest, remotest bit like what happened to you in the past? And it just brings it all flooding back again, doesn't it? We got to find a way to work past that and work through that and let it go forever. We got to learn to let go. We need to recognize it when it happens and deal with it right away. That's the fourth thing. We need to continually re-forgive whenever we remember they're wrong. God did create us in His image. God created Adam in His image. So I think in the beginning, Adam's mind was like God's mind. But then sin entered the world. Sin entered the world and sin warps everything it touches. Because of that, our minds are no longer like God's mind. So when these things crop back up and come flooding back into our mind and we start to feel those angry, bitter feelings towards that person, we've got to let it go. We've got to deal with it right away. Otherwise, it'll affect every area of your life. It will wear you down. It will burn you out. Holding on to the hurts that people do to you can sometimes hurt you more than the original incident did. You know that? It's funny, I've preached on forgiveness in my 2.5 years here. I've probably preached on forgiveness 2 or 3 different times, you know? And that seems like an awful lot, but it is so, it's such a small thing, but it's such a critical thing. Because it will harm you physically. It'll harm you emotionally. It'll harm you spiritually. It'll stunt your spiritual growth. It's like spiritual coffee. It'll stunt your spiritual growth. Need to let go. I talked about Hebrews on Thursday mornings, and a few verses below the one I used earlier about their sin and lawless acts, I will remember no more. Just a little bit below that in verse 30, it says, "For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" It's not our job to repay people for the things they've done to us. In fact, this verse, in context with the verses that we used earlier, said that God doesn't remember their sin anymore. That means that whenever we take matters into our own hands and go looking for revenge, looking to get back at those people for the things they did to us, whenever we do that, we're not in God's will anymore. We're punishing someone for something that God doesn't even remember ever happened. And that means we're sinning. Because in God's eyes, what we're doing is completely unprovoked. Because God doesn't remember what happened before. Let go. Think of the people in your life that have hurt you in the past. And consciously choose to let go. Just release it. Forgive them. Let it go. And if you do that, oh my goodness, if you do that, you are going to have such freedom in your life. You are going to feel so much lighter. You don't know what you're missing. But like I said, it's kind of a cycle that you're going to go through because you're not perfect. You got to continually re-forgive. Okay? So we've spent these last few months talking about restoration. And there's other areas of our lives that we haven't covered in this series. But as we close this series, we need to examine our lives. We need to look for any areas of your life that aren't where they should be, that have been eroded by life. We need to look for them and restore them. It's like regular maintenance on your car or your house, right? You know, how good would your car be if you never had the oil changed and never, you know, had the engine checked, never checked the tires? Your car would fall apart. It would stop running after a while. And your house, you know, you need to do regular maintenance on the place where you live, right? You got to get the air conditioning checked. You got to call in the bug guy and spray. You got to take action to make sure that your house and your car are in good working order. And if you find anything wrong, you got to fix it. And it's the same thing with our lives. We have to continually be looking at our lives. Find those areas that are breaking down. And repair them. Restore them. Think about the time in your life when you were the most on fire for God. The time in your life when you were the most passionate about your relationship with Him and finding His will for your life and doing what He wants you to do. Think about that time in your life. Maybe you're living it right now. And that's awesome. But if you're not, think back to that time. What's different about your life now compared to then? That might point you in the right direction to find out what area of your life needs restoration. We started this series by looking at the book of Nehemiah. You remember that? After the exile, the Israelites were coming back to Israel, and Nehemiah wanted to come back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He wanted to restore Jerusalem's security, their safety. He wanted to restore the city back to its former glory. And so he came back and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah chapter 11, after the restoration of the walls was done, that's when the people came back. That's when the people came back and they filled the city. There's a couple things that I see that we can apply that to our situation. First of all, as a church, as we restore those broken down areas of our individual lives, and as we become more healthy Christians, we're going to be a more healthy church. We're going to be a safe place where people can come and be healed, where people can come and be ministered to, where people can come and meet Jesus for the first time. People will come. Secondly, as individuals, as you rebuild and restore those areas of your life that need work, you're going to be a more healthy Christian. You're going to be more in line with what God wants for you. Your mind is going to be aligned with God's mind. Your heart is going to be in line with God's heart. And as that happens, your life is going to be more fruitful. Your life is going to be more productive. Your life is going to be more fulfilling. Just like Jerusalem was after the restoration of their walls. So I hope this series has been beneficial to you. I hope you've been able to look at your life and find those areas that need work. And then take the action that you need to rebuild those. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to examine each one of our lives. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would now reveal to us any other areas of our life that need your touch, that need your word. Need your presence. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, I pray for this family that I have before me. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal any hurt. I pray that you would unify us and grow us, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.